You know, sometimes when you preach, you feel like it's a divine assignment, and it's one of those sermons this morning that I know that it's a divine assignment for somebody's life. So whether you're here today or listening by internet, at some point, this message is been divinely sent today for somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for the anointing on your word. Your anointing on your servant to minister from your heart today, Father God. Thank you for ears that hear and receive that word today, God, that will bring change to their lives, that they will forever, ever, never be the same. Hallelujah. There's a song that says, it's a new season, it's a new day. A fresh anointing is flowing your way. How many receives that this morning? Amen. It's the season of power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to you. Come on, church. Receive that right now. The devil's time is up. No longer can he bother me, 'cause the creator of this universe, he fathers me. You receive that. And it's transferable to your children. They shall be free. Amen. Because it's a new season. It's a new day. Glory to God. And if you don't know by now, you need to know. It's Jubilee. If you don't know by now, you need to know. It's Jubilee. Where debts are canceled and your children walk in victory. It's so available to you right now. Just taste and see. It's a new season. It's a new day. It's a new year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And all that was stolen from you is returning to you 100-fold. Glory. Tried in the fire, but you're coming out like pure gold. Cling to his hand, to every promise take hold, because it's a new season, it's a new day. Hallelujah. This is your season and this is your time. Glory to God. And the Lord says the water's been stirred today for you. And I'm bringing you to a land flowing with milk and honey. So he says, begin to decree and declare, this is my time. Because God said it's my time. I will no longer be held back by feelings of unworthiness or shame. This is a new day. The past is the past. And that is where I will leave it, at the cross. I choose to live life to the fullest. Because I know my God is for me. So therefore, who or what can be against me? I prophesy today a new day for me, a new day for you, a new beginning. And I choose to get excited about my life because it's the life that God has given me. Amen. And you look around this morning, there's nothing in your life that you think you could be excited about. Find that one thing that God has done for you and get excited about it. And pretty soon something else will happen. I can get excited about that. Amen. God wants you to get excited about your life because he has chosen you to be part of this earth today to make a difference. And it's a new season and it's a new day. So today, turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 7, and we're going to be reading a very familiar passage of Scripture today. We're going to be talking about the Valley of Dry Bones. And like I said at the beginning, I sense today, yes, the kids can be dismissed. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. That we're going to be preaching about the Valley of Dry Bones today. And so I prophesy again to you today that there is no room for dryness in this house. There is no room for dryness in this house at New Life. And there is no room for dryness in your life. I declare that this is a wet place. And I declare that you have a wet life. Because nothing can come up until there's wetness, until there's moisture. And the Holy Ghost is breathing on you today. So I did decree and declare that this is not a dry place. And your life is not a dry place. You have come to a wet place today. And the Holy Ghost has come and has been raining upon you. So God is a good God. God is a good God. Let's go back a minute. Let's just talk about chapter 36 before we get into chapter 37. When you look back at 36, you can see that Israel had been in captivity for a long, long time. And God instructed Elijah to prophesy to the mountain of Israel in the beginning of chapter 36. And he says, I want you to prophesy to the mountain of Israel. And I want you to say to him, hear the word of the Lord. This says the Lord, because the enemy has said over you, ha, and the ancient heights have become our possession. So he said, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to the mountains of Israel. And this is the way it is right now, but this is how I want it to be. This is how it's going to be. And I want you to begin to prophesy there. And he said, I want you to begin to prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, because they have made you a desolation, and they snapped after you and crushed you from every side. You became a possession of the rest of the nation. You became the talk and evil gossip of the people. Then he goes on to say, therefore, mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. And it begins to talk about how they were forsaken and abandoned, and they became a prey. But you, O mountains of Israel, shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people, for they are soon to come home. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. The cities shall be inhabited, and the waste places shall be rebuilt. Israel was still in captivity at this point. But see, God always has somebody to raise up and begin to prophesy and to begin to declare, this is how it's supposed to be. In the midst of a desolation, in the midst of captivity, in the midst of abandonment, somebody has got to begin to speak forth and say, this is how it's supposed to be. This is only a temporary situation. And he begins to go on, he began to say, I'm for you, I'll turn to you, and you'll be tilled and sown. The cities shall be inhabited, and waste places shall be rebuilt. I'll multiply you, increase you, and cause you to be fruitful. And I will do for you than better for you than at your beginning. That's the God of restoration. He doesn't just repair something. He makes it brand new to where it was better than what it was before. And at this time, Israel had, like I said, had been in captivity for a long time. And then we go over to chapter 37, where Ezekiel was literally carried by the Spirit of the Lord in the Spirit to view this valley of dry bones. And it was not a pretty picture. It was not a pretty picture. So we're just going to kind of skim through verses 1 through 14. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me out of the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of this dryness. Of these dry bones. And it was full. And he led me among them. And there were many on the surface of the valley. And they were very dry. And he said, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord, you know. And he said to me, prophesy over them. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord God says to these bones, I'll cause breath to enter you and you'll live. And I'll lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin. Put breath in you and you'll live and you'll know that I'm the Lord God. So Ezekiel said, I prophesied like God told me to. And when I did, there became a rattle and a bone came together on bone. And I looked and there were sinews on them and flesh upon them and skin to cover them. But there was no breath yet. Then he said to me, prophesy breath to him. And I did. And the Lord says, come from the four winds, breath, and breathe on these that are slain that they may live. So Ezekiel said, I prophesied, I was commanded. And then he said to me, son of man, are these bones of the whole house of Israel? Behold, they say, They say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we're indeed cut off. So he said, Ezekiel prophesied to them and said, thus saith the Lord, I'll open your graves, raise you from your graves. I'll bring you into the land. You'll know that I'm the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from them. And I'll put my spirit in you and you'll live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you will know that I'm the Lord I have spoken, for I will do it, declares the Lord. So the scripture opens up here with Ezekiel and God having a dialogue between each other. And Ezekiel was taken by the Spirit to see the real situation. Sometimes we have to look at something for what it is before it can ever get any better, that we can know what to do with it by the Spirit of the Lord. The place is a graveyard. There are dry bones there. Like I said, it wasn't a pretty picture. It was death. But we can see it as a symbolism of a people whose hope has died and had been dead for a very long time. The situation where there was no future, just bones, no life, no breath, just bones. But heaven knows he cannot be healed until it's first revealed. Amen. You can't put a Band-Aid on a wound and expect it to ever get better. There's some things that has to happen to go on because you are healed from the inside out. Amen. So nothing can be healed until it's first revealed. So he took Ezekiel into the valley and said, this is how it is. The bones are dead. They're not just dead, but they're very dead and they are dry. There's no life there. This is how the situation is, Ezekiel. You remember Adam was walking in the cool of the garden one day and God called out, Adam, where are you? God knew where he was, but God wanted Adam to know where he was. Amen. And what about Gideon hiding out from the enemy? And God said to the angel of the Lord, Gideon, what are you doing there? God knew where Gideon was at. But Gabe wanted Gideon to see where he was at and to begin to think about where he was at. Amen. So God took Ezekiel, and the word said he set him in the midst, and then he led him around, and there were very many. Ezekiel noticed they were dry, and it was apparent they'd been there a long time. But see, I've come to tell you today, it don't matter how long something's been dead. It doesn't matter how long your dream has died and you may have forgotten about it. It don't matter how it died, but when God begins to speak, and when he begins to breathe life onto something, it has no choice but to live. Because he is supreme, see? You've got to see him like that. So whatever situation may look like that it's dead, but you could just say it's gone. But when you allow and you begin to prophesy to it, it has no choice but to live. Amen? Because there's life in the breath of God. Amen. And so the word goes on to tell us that God asked Ezekiel a question. He said, son of man, can these bones live? He wanted to find out, I think, where Ezekiel was in his thinking. And Ezekiel being a prophet, you would think that he would come into agreement immediately with God and he would say, well, of course they can live. You said they could. I believe they can. After all, he was a prophet. He should have known they would. But the prophet begins to look around, and he sees no possibility of return to life. And so he says, well, Lord God, you know if they can or not. I don't see much happening here. They're dead. They're very dead, and they're dry. So with that answer, I began to understand Ezekiel's thinking. It's at that point that God begins to speak. It causes me to begin to believe, because everything has to have a starting point, a middle, and an ending. Amen? So at that point when God speaks a word to you, it's that point that you begin to believe something. You may not fully understand it. You may not know when it's going to work out or how it's going to work out, but you got that one little word. It gives you hope again. Hope begins to be renewed in you. And I believe at this point he sees there's no human solutions for the hopeless. Amen. No human solution. That's why God is not in a Band-Aid, wants to fix your problem and patch a Band-Aid on it. He's not in the Band-Aid fix. He wants to get to the root of why you have allowed things to die in your life and that you've given up on living. Amen. And that's why he says, I've come today for you to prophesy and get excited again about your life, that you're here for purpose and you're here for reason. So he doesn't want to just slap a Band-Aid on and say, go on and forget about it. Because the outward circumstances, you can play with them for a while and fix them for a while. But if it's not revealed to where it can be healed, it's going to come back up again in your life somehow, somewhere down the road. Amen? So the situation is only you, God, that knows. In other words, he said, I don't know God, but you do. And I believe that he thinks, well, this is going to have to be God. if it changes, because things are dead and they're pretty dead. So when we begin to look at our life, it seems that to be a hopeless situation. It seems as the brook is dried up and there's no figs on the vine. But we serve a God that's a God of restoration. That's the God of more than nothing. Nothing is ever too dead for Him. Amen. And you may be in a situation that looks hopeless today. It may look like the end is near. It's a time to give up. But God's, it's not over until God says, let it go. It's not meant to be restored. So you have to sometimes have to have the wisdom of the Lord. There are some things that are not just not meant to be. Amen. Let it go. Let it at the foot of the cross. And don't live in the past, but live for the moment and be prepared for what's going to happen in the future. We have to get outside of ourselves and be taken by the Spirit to get a heaven's perspective, because I found out that when I get a heaven's perspective of situation, it totally changes my view. It totally changes of how I look at things and view things. So the first thing God wanted Ezekiel to do was begin to believe that they could live again and to see them as living again and breathing again. You know, when you pray, God's already done it. You've got to see your prayers already answered, already done. Amen. And so he had to say, yes, those bones can live again. I see them living. I see flesh coming upon them. I see breath coming into them. Hallelujah. And that's the way you have to deal with your situations and things in life and your life and you're believing God for. You have to believe that they're already done, because you know that it's God's purpose and His will anyway. If thou canst believe, all things, the Word says, are possible to him that believeth. And then he said to Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy over these bones. And this is what I want you to say to them. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you'll live. And I will lay flesh upon you and cover your skin and put breath in you and you'll live. And you'll know that I'm the Lord. And you'll begin to live again when you hear the voice of God. The transformation and restoration started by a word from God, by hearing the word of the Lord. You may say, but I'm not a prophet. But you are a child of God and you can prophesy the word of your own life. As Kenneth Copeland, we've heard him say so many times, be the prophet of your own life. You don't have to wait till a prophet or somebody comes through to give you a word. Begin to prophesy to yourself. Amen. Begin to prophesy the word over your life. Begin to speak that word and cause it to those things to begin to live again. Faith comes by hearing, and the hearing and hearing the word of God. Words have power. We know that in Proverbs it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You may be thinking he was a prophet and that's what he does, but you have to stir yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You are a Christian. You are a child of God. This is what you do. Hallelujah. It should be part of you. This is part of your nature. Ephesians 3:20 says, God's will work, working according to the power that works in you. That's why you have to stir yourself up and begin to allow the power of God inside of you to begin to do things. He has called you to prophesy, which simply means divine inspiration. Which simply means divine inspiration. And when Ezekiel began to prophesy, and when he began to speak by divine inspiration, something began to happen. And when you begin to speak to your life and speak to those things that have died and speak to your life as to why you quit living and why you've not, you quit being excited about life and have given up, hallelujah, prophesy to that situation. At that moment, you may not see something anything happening, but there is something happening in the spirit. Sometimes things have to be rearranged. And sometimes when we begin to prophesy about things in our life, it seems that for a little while things go crazy. That's because things are being arranged. God's setting you up. Glory to God for a comeback. He's setting you up for things to be better. That's why some people come into our lives and they have to go. That's why the things have to be changed and be moved around. Glory to God. So every situation and circumstance have ears, and they are capable. They must. They have no choice but to respond to your prophecy, because you're anointed of God to be the prophet of your own life and to speak the word over you. Amen. Your life awaits order. Your situation is waiting for somebody, waiting for you to speak to it. It's waiting for you to say, You sickness, hear the word of the Lord. You poverty, hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we prayed for God to do. When he said, I've already done, it's time for you to do. Hallelujah. So speak to it and say, hey, whatever it is, you come into line with the word of God. Flesh, you will no longer be ruled, but I will be ruled by my spirit. Begin to speak what God has already decreed and declared in his word to be so. Sickness, you have no place in my body. Hear the word of the Lord. I prophesy to you by divine inspiration. You have to go, hallelujah, and begin to speak the word over your life. And if you fail to give it order, it will remain the same. Nothing will change. That's why so many times we don't see change in our life, because we're praying and we're begging God to do something. When he's up there and he said, listen, I've done all I can do. It's left up you now. I've given you the spirit. I've given you the voice, hallelujah, for you to begin to do something. And if you don't, nothing will change. It will remain the same, hallelujah. So I don't know what has happened in your life that has caused you to stop breathing, to cause you to stop living and just exist from day to day, because it's something that you have to do. But you do have a choice today. And as soon as Ezekiel began to prophesy as he was commanded, the bones began to sort themselves out. And I'm sure they were scattered everywhere, but every bone knew where they were supposed to go. Every bone knew, called by Shotahomahaya. That's why when you begin to speak to your life and order begins to take place, everything knows where it's supposed to go. Everything knows where it's supposed to be connected to. And all of those bones in that valley knew which part of the body they were supposed to be connected to. And when Ezekiel began to prophesy and say, bones live, bones come together, the Bible says a rattle began to take place. God is the great bone connector, and he is the great connector in your life to cause things to happen that you never thought would happen. You know, there's a saying that sin will take you further than you thought you'd ever go and cause you to do things you cause you never do. Well, I have to tell you, the anointing, if you will yield to it, will take you further than you thought you'd go and cause you to do things that you think you would never do. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! So I don't know what has happened in your life that has caused you to stop breathing, to cause you to stop living. You've just existed from day to day because it's what you know to do. But I prophesy to you today, get excited about your life. Get up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I looked at my clock and I knew what time it was. I could go to the bathroom by myself. I could wash my face by myself. What more is there to be excited about than that? I've got to go out and tell somebody what Jesus has done for me. Amen. So as soon as Ezekiel began to prophesy, bones began to sort themselves out and come together. If you can speak, your situation will be sorted out. It's not over for you. And I know in my own life, and since I've been saved, in relationships that I knew had to be restored and things needed to be done, but I didn't go out and try to make it happen. But over the years, I have seen things begin to connect, and I'd run across people, and I say, well, this happened, and will you forgive me? Or they may come to me, and it's not anything that I made happen. It just happened. That's because that connection of the Holy Ghost takes place, church. You don't have you when you are yielded to God, and when you begin to prophesy over your life, and you begin to decree and declare, God will cause things to happen that you thought would never happen. He will cause restoration of relationships. He will cause that child that's wandered away that you know that you planted in the Word into to come back to God. Amen. He will cause things to happen for you. But we get so stressed out because it don't happen in their time and in their way. But you don't have to do that. Just continually be yielded to God, and it will work out as you go. I promise you. It will work out as you go, because he's the great connector. Hallelujah. Jairus in the Bible thought it was over. His daughter was dead. But God said, it's not over, Jairus. Hallelujah. The man at the pool of Bethesda thought it was over because he couldn't make it into the water. But God said, it's not over yet. Hallelujah. Everyone thought it was over for Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den. But God said, it's not over yet. Amen. And Nebuchadnezzar thought it was over for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But God said it wasn't over. Job's wife thought it was over. She had cursed her husband to curse God and die. But the Lord didn't say it was over. The Lord didn't say it was over. So no matter who's telling you just to give up on that, how many years have you been believing that for? How many years have you been believing that for? Why are you keep believing and prophesying? Because you got your word from God. At that point, you had something to believe in. You had something to hang on to, and nobody can talk you out of it. I may not know when, I may not know how, but I got my word from God. And that's all I needed. Hallelujah. So Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded. The bones began to come together and flesh began to come upon them. But there was no breath in them at this point. And prophesied to the breath of Ezekiel and say, breath, breathe on these that were slain that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and the breath came into them. They lived and they stood on their feet. Breath means a recovery. It means a revival. Hallelujah. And I will put my spirit within you, and I will place you in your own land. There is a place for you. Amen. There is a place for you. You may seem out of place, but there is a place for you in the kingdom of God. Amen. God has a place for you. And it says, I will place you in your own land, and you'll know that I'm the Lord. I have spoken it, and I will do it. God wants to breathe fresh on you today. He wants you to know that you have been placed in your rightful place. Amen. And Brother Danny had called me a few weeks ago, and he said he had a dream, and he said he was here at church, and he prophesied the word awake, and then later on, Laverne said, finish up what you were going to say, and he said that he began to prophesy, and he said, flesh has come up on the bones, and they live again. Amen. So I decree and I declare to you that flesh has come up on the bones, the breath has entered into them, and they live again. It is not over, because God says, it's not over. Let go of what was yesterday. You can't happen what was yesterday, but you have a choice of what you do about it right now. Amen. As long as you hang on to the past and all the hurts and stuff that's happened, bad things have happened to all of us. Amen. Some of us will come from broken lives by our own choice, and some of us not by our own choice. But as long as you're hanging on to that bitterness and that anger, that unforgiveness, you know what happens? You are reliving that thing over and over again. And not only that, you are causing that person that did that to you to do it to you over and over and over again also. Because you are constantly reliving. It may have been ugly. It may have been a dirty situation in our eyes. But God said, I'm the God of restoration. I'm the God of forgiveness. And you have today. You may not have had a choice of what you did or what you said or what they did or what they said, but you have a choice today of how you go forth your life from this point forth. Amen. He's the healer of the wounded spirit, the wounded soul. He's a healer of memories too. Memories that haunt you at night. God can heal memories. Amen. Till it's no longer there. Hallelujah. Let's stand to your feet this morning. Father God, I thank you that you've come today and that you have breathed a fresh breath of life upon us. Those things that have been laid aside, God, that has caused us to quit living and to quit breathing, Father God, and just causing us just to exist from day to day. We come against every curse in Jesus' name that it was broken at the cross. And we yield ourselves to you today as your vessel. Every person under the sound of my voice, whether they're here or by internet today, I speak to them to live and to not die, to live again and to not die. Today is a new day. Today is a new beginning for them. And from this day forth, they shall live and be excited about their life and where they are going from this point forth. And as you heal us, God, from the inside out, that we become, Lord God, what you've destined and you purposed us to be while we're here on this earth right now. And Father, we thank you that you're the great connector, that you connect us, Lord, to everything that we need to be connected to. Every door that needs to be closed, we thank you for closing it, God, and giving us the wisdom, Father God, on what to do and what not to do. And Father, I pray for every person on this prayer list today. I lift them up to you for salvation, for healing, and for deliverance, God, financial miracles, God, that you're God of more than enough. And you know every name on this list today, every name upon our heart today. We speak peace to their troubled soul. We speak healing to their minds in Jesus' name and healing to their bodies. And we give you thanks for it, God, because you are the God of more than enough. And as we begin to prophesy and decree over our lives, we will see the change and the manifestation of that which you've promised us. Thank you that this is the year of restoration. This is the time of restoration, that we are in Jubilee. And all things that have been stolen from us will return to us, Father God, more than better than before, and that we have enough to bless others, Lord, as you command us to, Father. I speak a blessing over these people, that the favor of the Lord surrounds them as a shield. And everywhere they go this week, they see the favor of the Lord in abundance, in abundance. And Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for that now, for continuing to raise our pastor up, Father, and to bring complete healing and complete restoration. And the church said, amen, amen. Amen.